Okay, Madam Chair, it is 7:30.
All right, the Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of the meeting provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice published in the Star Ledger, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available through the township clerk and the township librarians. May we have the reading of the Department of Community Affairs guidelines?
Certainly, Madam Chair. In keeping with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines promulgated as part of the COVID pandemic, this meeting is being held virtually. Notice of the Zoom information to log in or call into the meeting has been part of the notice. I believe the Piscataway Planning Board has complied with the guidelines to the best of their ability, and the meeting should proceed virtually. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders? I unmuted her. She's not muted. Carol? I know she's here. Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Espinoza?
He's muted again.
Why does he keep muting himself?
He said here, Laura. He just
hears. I see it. Okay.
The message board says he can't unmute.
Here.
I don't know why it's doing that. Chairperson Smith.
Here. We will now all recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
We'll have the swearing in of the professionals. Ms. Saunders?
Where is she?
She's muted.
She's raising her hand.
She's muted.
And Laura, just so you know, Brian put in the comments, it says go to participants tab and there's an option to allow attendees to unmute.
I have that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I have everything open. I don't have mute upon entry. Everything is there. And then when I go to security, that's the other one. They can unmute themselves. Anybody can. So I don't know why it's.
And again, this was working fine, but we had IT on the computers today, so.
I think Mr. Gottlieb, what that is about is so to have anyone in the general public raise their hand and then Laura would have the opportunity to unmute them. And there's no way to really break that up.
Carol, can you hear us now or speak? Because Carol's not muted. So that might be on her end. Tom, I don't know if you want to swear Mr. Gottlieb in.
Sure.
Mr. Gottlieb, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Okay, well, are there any changes to the agenda tonight? Yes, there are some.
Yes, Madam Chairwoman, number 11, the Goldman Rutgers land matter has been postponed to May 12, 2021. They have indicated they will renotice. Number 12, 17 Plainfield Avenue has been postponed until May 12, 2021. They will not send any further notice. So if you're on this meeting for that matter, you will not get a new notice.
Carol Fonder. Join the meeting.
And then number 13, the Minaret Investments LLC has also been postponed until May 12, 2021. And again, no further notice is required. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item number 7, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on March the 10th, 2021.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I had to dial in from a landline. Okay. I'd like to memorialize the resolutions from March 11, 2021.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Okay, on this one, Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of March 11th, 2021.
Second. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Dawn Corcoran.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, 21B, 21PB05/08, Roof Realty Circle Drive Development LLC, preliminary and final site plan.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Arvin Itall. I'm an attorney at law, licensed to practice in the state of New Jersey, and I'm proud to represent Duke before the planning board this evening. This is the Circle Drive application. Is that correct? Since we have two of them, I want to make sure that I'm getting the right one.
That's correct, Arvin.
And if I may, the reports that we've had a chance to review, and just so the board members can also be comfortable with that, all of the staff reports have generated that we'll be addressing those this evening. We have the February 25th, 2021 letter to Chairwoman Swift from Dawn Corcoran, March 2nd, 2021 approval for Fire Marshal Robert Gore, March 17th, 2021 no comment memo from DPW Mr. Gasperi, March 23rd staff report from Mr. Hinterstein, March 19th, Dolan and Dean traffic review letter. And finally, we have the March 22nd, 2021 CME review letter. Is that the complete set that we'll be working with this evening, Ms. Buckley?
Arvin, on the one from Ms. Corcoran, it's a revised date of March 24th. You have that?
We do. I apologize. That was, it's originally dated February 25th, and it was revised on March 24th, correct?
Yes. Okay.
As I indicated earlier, this is currently a vacant property located at 141 Circle Drive North, and it's about five and a half acres in size. It's designated as Block 4102, Lot 2. And it's bounded in general terms on the north side by Circle Drive North and to its south by Possum Town Road. What's proposed for the site is that the site will be cleared and improved so that there will be 119 truck and tractor parking spaces with security accoutrements as well, including a guard shack and attendant. There'll be fencing surrounding it for security purposes. And this property will be used for staging and for delivery for Bob's Discount Furniture, which would be the tenant for the building just down the road on 150 Old New Brunswick Road. Now, this board approved that large warehouse, 150 Old New Brunswick Road. We were fortunate enough to get a national tenant retailer, and that national tenant retailer will be utilizing this lot to have box trucks essentially that will be in the morning picked up by drivers to go out to make their deliveries and then come back in the evening.
Oh, he froze.
Did we lose him?
No, he froze. Give him a second.
They must have dropped the puck in the hockey game.
Just
there you go. You're back, Arvin.
Okay. Was I knocked out?
Yes.
It goes okay. Off a minute. Trucks to make deliveries. Was it that went out?
Okay. They'll be dropping off their private vehicles, obviously, to pick up the trucks to go out to make deliveries during the day and then come back the end of the day. They'll pick up their private vehicles and leave the delivery vehicles at the 141 Circle Drive North site. And these operations were anticipating will last as long as Bob's Discount Furniture is a continued tenant at that site. I have three witnesses, as I've said, and Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to call our first witness, who will be a representative of Duke Realty, Mike Davis.
Sure, go right ahead.
And Mike is on camera. Let's make sure that you're unmuted, Mike.
And let's have Ms. Saunders swear him.
There you go. Well, you're not quite unmuted yet. Oh, there you go. Ms. Saunders, would you swear, Mr. Davis?
Yes, I can. Mr. Davis, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. Mike Davis, D-A-V-I-S.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Davis, tell the board, if you would, how you're employed.
Certainly. Good evening, members of the board. Mike Davis, I am a director of development services for Duke Realty Corporation. In that position, I oversee the acquisition and evaluation of land for the company's development pursuits, and then I also oversee the land use approval, permitting, and site design process.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in that capacity with Duke Realty?
Just over 6 years.
And prior to that, were you also engaged in similar activities with other realty development?
Yes, I was. I was employed for 15 years prior to Duke my tenure with Duke Realty as a project manager for a civil engineering land use consulting firm.
Now, I want to be clear in my introduction. You're familiar with the 150 Old New Brunswick site as well, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you're familiar with this site of 141 Circle Drive?
Yes, I am.
And as I tried to explain, there will be some harmonious interaction between the two sites for use by the proposed tenant, which is Bob's Discount Furniture at the 151 Old New Brunswick Road site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Tell us, if you would, a little bit about how that came about, how Bob's Discount Furniture had approached you with this, and how you see this operation, as they've explained it to you, will be carried out if this board were to approve the application this evening.
Certainly. Approximately 12 to 10 months ago, Bob's Discount Furniture approached Duke on behalf of our project at 150 Old New Brunswick Road. That project was in its early construction phase, having just been approved and starting construction on that project. Bob's Discount Furniture inquired with us as to the availability to utilize that building for the delivery of furniture. Bob's Discount Furniture, I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. If you're not, they are a national furniture retailer. They're one of the fastest growing furniture retailers in the country. They recently just hit the top 10 in terms of furniture sales nationwide. And so they approached us about utilizing 150 Old New Brunswick to store furniture and help them facilitate delivery of that furniture to their customers, primarily through central New Jersey and through Staten Island. As part of them utilizing that building, they also asked to utilize Circle Drive as a supporting operation to that facility. And while the main building at 150 Old New Brunswick Road will receive the majority of furniture, store it, process it, and queue it for delivery, Circle Drive will be the part of the operation by which they manage their delivery and trailer staging fleet. And so in its simplest form, Circle Drive will be where the delivery drivers, there's typically a team of two delivery personnel that will drive a box truck and deliver furniture to your home. They will begin their day by driving to Circle Drive, parking their vehicles, getting in a box truck that has already been loaded. They will deliver the furniture that they have for that day, do their route. They will return to 150 Old New Brunswick Road and unload any additional furniture that wasn't delivered, any returns, and then they will repackage and reload that truck for the next day's delivery and thereby return to Circle Drive, store the vehicle there overnight and take their car and go home for the day. And that is primarily how they will use that lot to support the operation. They will also park trailers that are not in use and are going between the two facilities as furniture comes in, is delivered, and as furniture goes out. So that's essentially what Bob's is going to use Circle Drive for.
Right. If the members of the board have any questions of Mr. Davis.
Does the board have any questions of Mr. Davis at this time?
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Quirk, and I have one question.
Sure, go ahead, Dawn.
Mike, I don't see any car parking proposed. So when the employee comes to this site, how does that operation work? Where exactly do they put their car while they're taking that box truck out?
That's a great question. We've been working with Bob's to get a better idea of how they intend to utilize to do that. What we've preliminarily discussed is that if you're looking at a site plan, when you enter the facility from Circle Drive, you go through a guardhouse. Mm-hmm. And just south of the guardhouse is where the trailer parking starts. That mm-hmm. that area there is where they will park their vehicles. It's the closest to the entrance. That way they're not intermingling with parked trailers or with trucks coming and going. They will just take a first come, first serve spot and sort of manage that parking on their own as is necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from?
Yes, Madam Chair. If I could just a follow up, because Dawn's question, this is Councilwoman Cahill, prompted a question on my part. So, Mr. Davis, if the intended tenant is working on the case, I mean, everything's going to have to be on that application to the township's requirement. Is that accurate? I'm just wondering, we'll see those plans before approval, correct, for parking for employees?
We've got our engineer or site engineer who will probably be able to address that a little bit better.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
Madam Chair, I have a question, Reverend Kinney, in regards mm-hmm. to that, because several times in various different areas, they've been using these box trucks, and the box trucks would come out of their parking space at overnight, and then they put their car where the box truck is. That's a great concern of mine. That's why Dawn wanted to know if they're going to have a designated area for this parking, because I've seen problems with that if they're using that box truck to park that vehicle where that box truck was. That's my concern.
That is certainly a way in which some tenants park that, run their operations. In discussing that with Bob's, sorry for that. In discussing that with Bob's, we'll have to think through that a little bit more. But our intention is not to utilize a situation where you're intermingling trucks with cars. We try to keep that as segregated as possible due to the obvious conflicts that arise.
Okay, thank you.
And just one follow up. I'm sorry. This is Dawn Corcoran again. Mike, do you know approximately how many employees you may have coming over here on average?
Yes, we do. They will run at peak season being Thanksgiving, Christmas, right about now in the spring. They will run on average about 40 box trucks
okay.
out of that facility at a time. And that's generally a 1 to 2 man crew based on the route and it's primarily based on the route. And what specific furniture is being delivered.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? We will now open it up to Ms. Buckley. Would you check to see if there's any questions from the public?
Yes, there is a Brian.
Yes, Brian, would you give us your name,
Sure. Brian Rack, 1247 Brookside Road.
Thank you. What's your question?
I can't see the plan, so maybe this is addressed on them, but are you keeping the screening and stuff on Possum Town Road? I know the park is right across from that. I would hate to have the park look out onto a big parking lot.
We'll have our site engineer address that, Brian.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public?
No, here, Madam Chair.
Close to the public. Mr. Arvin, do you have any other questions of this witness? If
I
not,
do.
We can call the next witness.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have no other questions for Mr. Davis. With your permission, I'll call our site engineer, Greg Oman from Menlo Engineering.
Fine.
Doesn't matter what background I pick, his man cave background is not only real.
Mr. Oman.
Hello.
How are you?
Saunders, would you swear, Mr. Oman?
Yes. Hi. Do you swear that the testimony about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record. Last name, please.
Gregory Oman, O-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Thanks. Greg, can you give us the benefit of your credentials and the last time that you appeared before this board as an expert in the field of engineering?
Sure. I am the president and owner of Menlo Engineering Associates, have been employed by Menlo Engineering for over 23 years now, licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, have been licensed in the state of New Jersey now for over 19 years, and all the work done on this project was done under my supervision. I believe the last time I was in front of this board was for 150 Old New Brunswick Road, but I may be mistaken.
Great, which leads me to my next question, which is you're obviously familiar with both the 150 New Brunswick site and also the proposed site here, which is 141 Circle, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now having familiarity with both, you've heard the testimony that Mr. Davis has provided and also my opening statements. If you can, why don't you walk us through the existing conditions of the site and what's proposed for the site, and keep in mind some of the comments that were brought up regarding parking and screening as well.
Sure. I'm just going to share my screen right now. Can everyone see the aerial photo?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good start. Okay, so I have two exhibits that I've pre-marked. The first, marked A1 with today's date, is entitled Existing Conditions Exhibit. It is an aerial photo showing the property boundary and the surrounding area. The property for this application is a 5.59 acre parcel identified by the township tax map as block 4102, lot 2. The site falls within the 141 Circle Drive North redevelopment zone. And what is being proposed here tonight is a permitted use under that redevelopment zone. The site is bound. North is basically to the right side of the screen. Possum Town Road to the south, Circle Drive North to the north side, and in wooded areas to the west and to the east. And just off to the property on the eastern end is a tributary to Ambrose Brook, Rehoboth Brook, that is basically under the jurisdiction of the NDEP. Site today is fully wooded. There's a small isolated pocket of wetlands centrally located on the property. It drains from a north to south, southeast direction. And along the easternmost property line, there is an 18-inch gravity sewer line that actually falls on our property within an easement. My next exhibit, which is marked as A2, everyone can see this?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Entitled Overall Plan Exhibit. This is what the proposal is. Maybe I can zoom in a little bit. Maybe that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
What we're proposing here is a total of 119 trailer storage spaces, 12 feet in width by 60 feet in depth. We have full movement access driveways off of both Possum Town Road to the south, Circle Drive to the north. We have a 30-foot wide driveway off of Possum Town Road. This is going to be the secondary entranceway. The primary entrance is going to be off of Circle Drive in which the width is approximately 37 feet wide. As you enter in off of Circle Drive North, you approach a 65 square foot guardhouse. Now on the plan submitted, this guardhouse actually fell partially into the front yard setback. We're pushing this guardhouse a little further into the site to eliminate that variance request. So we are out of the front yard setback along Circle Drive North. Around the improvements, including the parking lot and the two entranceways, we have a 6 foot high black vinyl coated chain link fence with security gates located at each entrance. We are proposing a 6 foot wide dedication to the township along Circle Drive North in order to provide the necessary half width along Circle Drive, and a 19 foot combination of right of way dedication and road easement along Possum Town Road, again, to meet the required half width of 52 feet along Possum Town Road. Along both site frontages, we are proposing a 5 foot wide concrete sidewalk for pedestrian access along the entire width of the property. As I'd mentioned, the site drains from a north to south, southeast direction. We are increasing impervious coverage on site by more than a quarter of an acre and disturbing over an acre of property. Therefore, we are considered a major development for stormwater management. In order to address the rate of runoff, how fast the water leaves the site, along the eastern end of the property, we have designed an underground detention basin, which is going to reduce the rate of runoff from the site up to and including the 100-year storm. That detention basin then slows the water down, conveys it through a manufactured treatment device located just to the eastern side of Possum Town Road entrance, in which this manufactured treatment device storm filter provides the 80% TSS, or total suspended solids removal rate, to meet the water quality requirements per the town, county, and state requirements. We don't have a very high utility demand on the site because of the guardhouse, but we are anticipating that it probably will have a restroom in it. So we are going to bring in water, electric, gas, and we're going to have the on-site sewer lateral connection right on site. Easy connections, direct shots from Circle Drive North. Mm. We are proposing LED light fixtures throughout the entire development, 12 of them to be total, 323 watt fixtures mounted at 24 and a half feet high. The redevelopment ordinance requires a 0.5 foot candle maximum at all property lines. Plans submitted exceed that at two locations at both of the entranceways. We have looked at the light fixtures closest to these driveways, and we can either change the optics of each of those light fixtures or slide them in slightly to comply with that. So we are not requesting a deviation from the ordinance for 0.5 foot candle maximum at the property line. The question that was raised regarding the whether you're going to be able to see this and the existing vegetation, we are maintaining as much of the existing vegetation as we can along each of the street frontages to minimize visibility of this from the road. Basically, what we have, if you're looking at Possum Town Road, we have the 30-foot wide driveway, and then on either side, we have just enough clearing just to allow some grading to work with the security fence, and then we're going to supplement that in with some additional planting. In some of the low-lying areas along both Possum Town and Circle Drive, we are supplementing in some additional trees and plantings. There are some dead trees out there that we're kind of filling in the voids. We're proposing our street trees as required by the township, comprised mostly of oaks. In total, we're proposing 95 trees, 118 shrubs, and 246 ground cover species. We're proposing two monument signs, one being located at each of the two entranceways. They are 60 square feet, set off the right of way 25 feet. They are 6 foot wide by 10 feet tall. As I've mentioned about the deviations, we eliminated the setback for the guardhouse. We eliminated the lighting one that was indicated by staff. So we really have two deviations that we are requesting a variance for tonight. The first being the redevelopment ordinance does not permit chain link fences. And this is not your standard galvanized chain link fence that you see a lot. This is a black coated, vinyl coated fence that kind of blends in with the existing vegetation, primarily utilized for security. And that's what we're utilizing it here for, with the two swing gates at each of the two entranceways. The second is fence height. 6 feet is allowed as a maximum height per the ordinance. And based on the interpretation of the regulation, when you have a fence located along the top of a retaining wall, the fence height is measured at the very bottom of the wall all the way to the top of the fence. And the reason we have a fence, we do have a small retaining wall located at the southeast end of the property. The maximum height of that wall is approximately 4 feet in height. We provide a fence along the top of that wall because when there's maintenance crews on top, there is a liability of somebody falling off that wall and hurting themselves. So in total, we're asking for where a 6 foot high fence maximum is permitted per code, we're asking for 10 feet high because it's a 6 foot fence plus the 4 foot wall at that particular location. In terms of outside approvals, we will require a Middlesex County Planning Board site plan approval. We are disturbing over 5,000 square feet, so we will require a soil erosion permit, which is handled by the township. And we have filed and been deemed administratively and technically complete by the NJDEP for not only wetlands general permits, but also for a flood hazard individual permit due to the floodplain of the brook adjacent to us. Now, there was also a question regarding car parking. When we looked and added, originally we didn't have the guardhouse shown on the plan, and then we showed it, it fell in the setback, and now we're sliding it in. These 10 trailer parking stalls located at the northeast corner of the development become troublesome for a tractor trailers, not only getting in, but getting out. So we have looked at not changing the curb, not changing the pavement, not changing the grading, strictly just eliminating these stripes, adding a small dumpster for garbage pickup on site. And we're looking at restriping this for car parking. We can probably get about approximately 25 car parking stalls in there. This may have to encroach a little further south, but that's based on Bob's operations. Like Arvin said, Mr. Davis actually indicated that now is their peak season where they're anticipating about 40 trucks. So that will kind of dictate the number of car parking stalls that they would need. There was also one other item that I wanted to touch on, that we will also provide one electric charging station for these car parking as required by code.
Great.
Mr. Omar, this is Tom Barlow. Just a quick question, just to clarify something.
Sure.
So what I'm hearing is you're going to take out 10 of the proposed truck trailer spots and replace that with approximately 25
car parking stalls. Yes, it doesn't change anything but the striping.
Gotcha. So it would be 180 and 25 then.
109, we would end up with 109 trailer stores.
I'm sorry, 109.
Yep. Yes, and 25 car park, correct. Yep.
Thank you.
And we would certainly work with staff on that to make sure all the dimensions, et cetera, are accurate.
Madam Chair, unless the board members have any other questions, my direct.
All right, you're finished with your questioning. Do any of the members of the board have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Hi,
Greg. It's Dawn Corcoran. Are there any items in the staff report that you cannot comply with?
There is not, and I actually forgot to mention that. I have had the opportunity to go through all of the staff reports, the CME letter, the planning, engineering, and we can comply with everything that was indicated.
Great, thank you.
Great. Any other questions from the board?
Madam Chair, if I may, it's Councilwoman Cahill. Thank you very much for giving an explanation and answer to those questions. I do have one question. I don't think I see it on the staff report. I could be wrong. I looked at it earlier and I'm looking at it now. The entrance and exit on Possum Town Road, I'm concerned about left-hand turns out of there. Are we limiting that? I didn't notice that.
We have our traffic engineer who I believe is next.
So I keep asking the wrong person the question. Okay.
We'll eventually catch up with your thinking.
Yes, okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the board? Then we'll open it up to the public for questions of this witness.
Brian Reck.
Yep. Do you need my name and stuff again, or are you good?
Well, you can give it to us one more time for the record.
Yeah, Brian Reck, 1247 Brookside Road. Is this going to affect the flooding that happens right at the Possum Town Road and Railway Crossing? I know that's like right down the street from where you're proposing this being built.
No, this is so as part of the requirements, because we are major development, we are required to reduce the rate of runoff leaving the site. We are also, as part of the NJDEP requirement, we had to show and prove that we are not eliminating any flood storage for Rehoboth Brook there that would cause downstream study flooding. So we have provided those plans to the DEP. They're under review right now, but that is a requirement.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any other members of the public who have questions of this witness? All right, then I'll close it to the public. You may call your next witness if there's no other questions for this witness.
Thank you. With your permission, if I could call Scott Kent.
Would you come forth, Mr. Where is he?
Good evening.
Oh, there he is.
Hi. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Yes, it is Scott Kennel, K-E-N-N-E-L. I'm with McDonough and Ray Associates, located at 1431 Lakewood Road, Manasquan. I'm a partner with McDonough and Ray Associates, a traffic and transportation planning firm. I have over 35 years of experience. I've testified before this board in the past, most recently on the 150 Old New Brunswick warehouse for Duke. And I've testified in over 1,000 applications in over 100 municipalities. And I've also been qualified by the New Jersey Superior Court as a traffic expert.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like me to go through further qualifications? Will the board accept him as an expert?
Will field traffic engineer, expert.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, you're familiar with both this application, the 150 Old New Brunswick site, and how the site is proposed to operate between the two, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Walk us through, if you would, paying special attention to the volume of truck traffic, tractor trailer traffic, box truck traffic, that is, and also on ingress and egress at the 141.
March 3, 2021, that was submitted to the board. And the initial task was, and we were retained by Duke back in 2019. So we were able to conduct morning and afternoon traffic counts pre-COVID in November of 2019. So the traffic study that's submitted to the board is based on traffic counts that are not influenced or impacted by the pandemic and the changed commuter patterns. And so again, the traffic counts were conducted in November. They were done from 7 a.m. to 9:30. With a peak hour 7:30 to 8:30 with approximately 1500 vehicles. And again, those counts were conducted at Possum Town Road and Circle Drive. And then on November 19th from 3 to 6 p.m., traffic counts were conducted with the peak hour occurring from 5 to 6 p.m. with over 2100 vehicles. So obviously the p.m. peak hour was the highest traffic volumes as compared to the a.m. This is a unique type of use in the fact that typically we consult the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual for a variety of land uses, and that's what was utilized on 150 Old New Brunswick. But given the proposal here with Bob's Furniture, they have provided us detailed information, which is summarized in the traffic report submitted to the board on the activities that would take place at this site. And based on the information provided, we estimated traffic during the morning and afternoon peak hours. And as table one in our traffic report indicates, it's expected that during the morning peak hour, there will be approximately 40 trips to and from this site. And then in the afternoon, we had 69 projected. We took into consideration the operations that is, as Mike Davis discussed earlier, and surcharge that traffic onto the driveway serving the site. Please note that as far as the Possum Town Road driveway, we analyze that as a right-in, right-out.
Join the meeting.
Because of anticipating concerns with left-turn movements, given the volume on Possum Town Road. And secondly, the Possum Town Road access, as was indicated, was the secondary access, where, again, the majority of traffic will be utilizing Circle Drive, which has you know, less volume as far as through volume and can function as a full movement driveway. Taking that into consideration, we took the base traffic volumes, expanded them to a design year of 2023 to evaluate what kind of impact the additional traffic would have on the site access, as well as at the intersection of Possum Town Road and Circle Drive. As far as Possum Town and Circle Drive, during the morning peak hour, the levels of service with the no build condition was a level service B. It would remain a level service B, minimal impact by this development during the morning peak hour. And in the afternoon, because as I indicated, the PM peak hour has a higher background traffic volumes, the intersection is will be operating a level service C in the no build, and it will continue to operate level service C with minimal impact by this development because of the capacity of that traffic signal operation. As far as the Possum Town Road access, we calculate that it would operate a level service B in the morning and a level service C. As the board knows, we usually try to have a target level service of C to D as an appropriate design range. And again, we comply with that criteria. And as far as the site driveway to Circle Drive, that'll operate a level service B or better. B as in boy. So again, based on the low volumes, that driveway can operate safely and efficiently as a full movement driveway. And as part of the design, there was a comment in the Dolan and Dean report, and we will address that and work with the board's professionals to provide clear the appropriate amount of vegetation along Circle Drive so that we provide the site distance required to have traffic move safely and efficiently in and out of the site. As was indicated by Mr. Oman, the site driveways have been designed to accommodate large wheelbase vehicles, which will be serving the site. And our evaluation has found out to be accurate. And that, again, it's expected that traffic can access this site in a safe and efficient manner. And in conclusion, the traffic to be generated by this will not have a negative impact on the adjacent roadways. And it's my opinion that this site can function safely and efficiently.
Thank you, Scott. Madam Chair, the members have any questions for Mr. Kim?
I'd like to ask the board if they have any questions of this witness.
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, I want to make sure I did hear it correctly, because we talked a lot about getting in and out. I just want to make sure that I did hear correctly that on the Possum Town entrance, that is a right in and right out only. That's what I thought I heard. Is that accurate?
That's how we analyzed it, and that's what I would expect would be the recommendation of Middlesex County when we go to submit the application.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. I think we make it a condition of board approval to make sure there's a prohibited left out on Possum Town Road.
Right. Yeah, good.
And then as in a note to all the board members, the intersection of Possum Town Road and Circle Drive and First Avenue was built to a level service E build out. Back 10 years ago, on the assumption that at some point, some of the development that hadn't taken place on Circle Drive would be built out and any other future developments in that area that intersection would be able to handle any of the traffic going out in that area. And quite frankly, that is the largest that the intersection could possibly get because of the constraints of the floodplain.
Thank you, Mayor. So noted. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, just one question in regards to the in and out on the truck traffic in the sites. Was that based on the 48-foot trailers or 53-foot trailers? Could you answer that question for me?
Yeah, again, the as it's described in our traffic report, there'll be 53-foot trailers.
Okay.
There's a lower volume of those, but then there'll also be containers and there will be the box trucks. So there'll be a variety of truck sizes servicing this site, and the access has been designed to accommodate all those trucks.
Okay, that answers my question. Okay, thank you.
You're thank welcome. You. Are there any other questions before I open it to the public? Hearing no response, Madam Buckley, would you check with the public to see if there's any questions?
They wouldn't let me unmute, I apologize. I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Okay, Mr. Athol, do you have any other witnesses for us today?
I think Mr. Gottlieb.
I see a hand, Mr. Gottlieb.
I'm sorry, I can't reach my laptop. I just had one question for Mr. Oman regarding the clearing, along, especially along the Possum Town Road. I do have some concerns regarding the preservation of some of the existing plant material, considering the necessity to make sure that all the site distances are adequate and that sort of. So what I'm just like to know is I would like just to make sure that you work with Mr. Hinterstein, and should he desire additional buffering along the frontages because of some additional clearing that I think will have to occur.
Understood, and we certainly will. We always work with Henry, and we're willing to on this application as well.
Okay, very good, thank you.
Mr. Athol, would you like to sum up or?
Very briefly, if I may. Madam Chair, we came before you with a number of deviations that we were looking for, and as you heard this evening, we've eliminated the deviation that we would have requested for a minimum setback for the guardhouse as we've moved that back out of that to 75 feet back at least. We've eliminated the deviation regarding the maximum permitted foot candles at the property lines. The one deviation that we still seek, however, is, and I'm sorry, we've also eliminated deviation for the electric vehicle charging, which will be provided as well. One of the things that remain, however, is the type of fence, the height, which I consider to be more of a technical variance because the fence itself will be located in some portions, even though a 6-foot fence is permitted, will be located on top of a retaining wall, which makes the effective height of the fence all the way below the retaining wall to more than 6 feet. I would ask that the board grant the variations or deviation, I should say, that we're requesting in that regard, and look upon this application favorably as it works harmoniously with the 150 Old New Brunswick site.
Thank you. Does anyone want to make a motion regarding this application at this time?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the staff report, the CME report, the Dolan and Dean report, any engineering comments that we may receive from Delaware.
And also, Dawn, a prohibitive no left turn out onto Possum Town Road, as well as additional buffering as required.
Join the meeting.
By Mr. Hinterstein on Possum Town Road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would someone like to second Ms. Hawkins' motion?
Carol Saunders, I'll second it.
Thank you. May we have a roll call, Ms. Buckley?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you ready to proceed with your next item?
I am, Madam Chair.
Item number 10, 21PB06/07, Duke Realty, Washington Avenue Development, LLC, preliminary and final site plan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remain Arvin Eitel, an attorney at law practice in the state of New Jersey and representing the applicant before this board. This is the redevelopment project as well. And this is an application for the development of a warehouse and office facility located at 1570 South Washington. There are currently three lots that comprise the site for development. Lot 5.02, 6.02, and 7.02 in block 5101. As a housekeeping matter before we start, if I could just confirm that the staff reports that we will be referencing that we've received from the township are the only ones that remain, which is a February 25th, 2021 letter to Chairwoman Smith from Ms. Corcoran, and that was February 25th, revised March 24th as well. March 24th, 2021, staff report from Mr. Hinterstein. March 17th, 2021, no comment letter from DPW. March 2nd, 2021, approval memo from Fire Marshal Gore. And April 1st, 2021, Dolan and Dean letter supplementing March 19th, 2021 letter. And finally, a March 18th, 2021 CME planning. Those are the staff reports and experts reports that we've received from the township.
That's my understanding also.
Ms. Cochran, is that everybody's understanding of what materials we have? Okay. All right, proceed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So this property, just to orient the board members, is roughly bounded by 287 and Access Road on the north portion of the site, and the southern portion of the site roughly bounded by Centennial Avenue. It's currently the site which the Avis fleet leasing operations are currently occurring. So there's quite a bit of outside storage vehicles that are there, including trucks and vehicles of other sorts there as well. What's being proposed for the site is an improvement to include a 216,000 square foot plus or minus warehouse facility, about 10,500 square feet of office space, and 35 loading docks. This is a permitted use, as we said, so we're not asking for use variance, otherwise we'd be before a different board. But there are two deviations from bulk standards which are being sought, and I'll address both of those. One of them is electric vehicle charging station is required. We had originally not shown it in the plans, and as an engineer will testify, we'll be able to provide that. So we're not seeking that deviation longer. The second is essentially design standard, similar to the one that you heard in the 141 Circle Drive North application, which is we're proposing a 6-foot black vinyl fence to be located on top of a retaining wall, which makes the effective height of that fence greater than 6 feet, which requires a deviation or relief from this board. I think it's a technical deviation that we're asking for relief from. We have essentially the same batting order, although we also have our architect available to go through testimony. So Madam Chair, with your permission, if I may start off again with Mike Davis, to give us a little bit of a history on this site and also what's proposed.
Thank you, you may proceed. Mr. Davis, you're already sworn in. You're still pro.
Excellent. Mike, since the last time you testified, you didn't get any text messages saying that your employment status has changed in any way. Have you?
I have not.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness. So, Mike, you heard my introduction, and you're familiar not only with this site, but with Duke's other operations in the immediate area. So tell us a little bit about how you came about to acquire this site and what's proposed for the development. And I know we don't have a tenant yet, but generally what you're looking for in terms of putting in tenant or tenants in that location.
Certainly. So similar to Circle Drive, we actually purchased property from the same seller as Circle Drive. We bought both of these properties together. And on the site now, formerly Washington Ave used to house the Avis Car Rental Center. It also had a trailer storage operation on the southwestern portion of that property where they stored trailers on a month-to-month lease. Since we've acquired that property earlier this year, both the trailer storage operation and the Avis facility have been, those leases have been terminated, and the site is now currently in those several months not in use. For this property, we intend to build a very similar type of project to our development at 150 Old New Brunswick Road. We're proposing a approximately 216,000 square foot warehouse facility. And in a facility like that, we typically find tenants who do generally one of three different things. They typically store their product in the facility, much like Bob's Discount Furniture, storing furniture. They can store any type of product that they buy, build, sell, or distribute. And generally, those companies distribute to one of two places, to the customer directly, much like Bob's Discount Furniture, or to their retail store network. And the facilities such as this will take product from the warehouse to the store. In the case of a Home Depot or a Walmart, those stores are filled by, product is delivered to those stores from a facility such as what is intended here. Other uses generally could be the storage and distribution of food. That's a slightly different type of building. It's a little bit more specialized when you introduce freezers and coolers, but of a building of this size, 216,000 square feet, food users generally like that size and that type of facility. And then in addition to that, we typically will see users that do light assembly, product packaging, product, they break down a product, they repackage it, they add components, and then they distribute it, ship it, or sell it from the facility in that fashion. And that's generally what the tenant makeup of our portfolio across the country entails.
Great. So, Mike, we'd indicated earlier, as I indicated earlier, we don't know who the ultimate tenant's going to be, but you'd like to build this building so that you maintain maximum flexibility with a well-reputed and long-term tenant.
That's correct. We approach buildings in this manner, much like 150 Old New Brunswick Road. We designed and had that building permitted and approved without a tenant in tow, without a commitment from a user. And so we designed that building, much like we will design this one, with the most flexibility inherent to that design, so that any tenant who is available and looking for space at the time we start construction, from the time we start until the time we finish, can move into that building with minimal changes to the site and to the building. And in general, in New Jersey at this time, the majority of buildings in this sector, in the industrial logistics center, are pre-leased. So they are leased by the time they are finished construction. And that's the case for Bob's at 150, and that's generally what we expect in this case as well.
Thank you. Madam Chair, if the members of the board have any questions for Mr. Davis.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of Mr. Davis at this time? Hearing no response, Ms. Buckley, would you check to see if there's any questions from the public?
Do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Mr. Ethel, you can call your next witness.
Thank you. And I'll call Greg Oman again. Greg, you're not on mute, are you?
No.
Okay. Mr. Roman, you're still under oath from your previous testimony this evening.
Got it.
Thank you.
Greg, you've had an opportunity to review this application also to prepare the plans. They were prepared either by you or under your direction, correct?
Correct.
And you're thoroughly familiar not only with the application, but also with the plans that were submitted in conjunction with that application, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. Using the same screen sharing magic that you were able to use before, can you walk us through the existing conditions on the site and then what we're proposing in terms of the improvements that we'd like to make to that site?
Sure. Let me screen. Everyone see the aerial?
Yes.
Perfect. So again, as the previous application, I pre-marked these two exhibits, first being marked A1 with today's date, entitled Existing Conditions Exhibit. It's an aerial photo showing the property boundaries with the surrounding uses. This particular application is a 21.23 acre parcel identified by the township's tax map as block 5101, lots 5.02, 6.02, and 7.02. Mm-hmm. Property falls within the 1570 South Washington Avenue redevelopment zone. The proposal here is a warehouse building, which is a permitted use within the zone. North is basically straight up on the exhibit. Site is bound by Centennial Avenue along the south, South Washington Avenue on the east. The public right-of-way entitled Access Road to the north, just to the north of that is Route 287, and an existing industrial building to the west with some wooded areas also to the west. Site is partially developed today. It contains two-story buildings that were previously utilized by Avis Rental. There is a large compacted gravel parking lot that extends deeper into the site towards Centennial Avenue, utilized primarily for trailer storage. Looking back at old historic aerials, it appears that trailer storage have been occurring on site since as early as the 1960s. This aerial alone, which was taken back in 2019, I actually counted every one of these, and there's almost 250 trailers stored on site, basically from the southern building down. Site drains from a north to south direction. There's an existing culvert that runs underneath Centennial Avenue that handles the runoff from the site and conveys that down to the south. A large portion of the site along the western end and at the southeast corner is actually wetlands. The western portion is an isolated pocket of wetlands. As you can see, there really isn't a lot of development on that side of the site and at the southeast corner of the property as well. The compacted gravel extends deep into the buffers of these wetlands, some of it even into the wetlands. And I'll talk about that briefly later on as part of our NJDEP application that we have submitted. Existing utilities that are going to be able that feed the site today, including water, sewer, electric, telephone, and gas, all occur off of Access Road and South Washington Avenue. My second exhibit, entitled Overall Site Plan Exhibit, marked as A2 with today's date. Maybe I can blow this up a little bit as well. That's a little better. It shows what we are proposing here tonight. It's a one building, 216,892 square foot building. 206,392 square feet of that building is going to be warehouse, with the remaining 10,500 square feet designated as office space. We're showing three office spaces located within the proposed building, one along the chamfered end of the building, and in kind of the northern facade broken into thirds, where there's two additional office components to do that. All loading occurs on the southern side of the building. We're proposing 35 trailer dock spaces, 13 foot on center, 60 feet deep. And directly to the south of that, we're proposing 38 trailer storage spaces, 12 feet in width by 60 feet in depth. Along the northern and eastern side of the building, We are proposing car parking stalls 9 feet in width by 18 feet in depth, 125 of those stalls, where 122 are required by code. Six of those 125 stalls are ADA compliant, and those are located directly in front of the three office spaces. There are two access points to and from the site, a full movement driveway to the north off of the right-of-way entitled Access Road, and then a right-in, right-out driveway along Centennial Avenue. Centennial Avenue does have a median, so you're not allowed to make left turns in. It's only a right-in, right-out at that particular location. Centennial Avenue half-width has already been adjusted. The right-of-way is there to meet the master plan of the township. Along South Washington Avenue, we are dedicating a small strip of property to provide the necessary 52-foot half-width for South Washington to meet the master plan. We are proposing 5-foot concrete sidewalks along the frontage of South Washington and Centennial Avenue for that entire width of the frontage. And lastly, at the southeast corner of the building, at the last loading spot, we are proposing a compactor which will handle all trash and recycling for the development. As with the previous application, we are increasing impervious coverage on site more than 1/4 acre and disturbing over 1 acre of property. So we are classified as a major development for the property in terms of stormwater management. As I mentioned, site drains from a north to south direction. We are proposing an above ground stormwater detention basin located at the southwest corner of the property. This basin will reduce the rate of runoff from the site up to and including the 100-year storm. The runoff will then be conveyed through a manufactured treatment device, storm filter, which will provide the necessary water quality requirements per the township, county, and state requirements to meet that 80% TSS removal rate. And eventually that will be then piped down to the existing culvert where the runoff all flows to today underneath Centennial Avenue. Utilities to feed the building will be brought in off of South Washington Avenue and also from Access Road. Within Access Road, we did some initial discussions with New Jersey American Water on their location and some of their flows. It was done a little bit ago, so we're going to get some updated flow data. But generally, when we lay out these kind of buildings, we always anticipate that there may be a pressure issue or a flow issue for the event that a tenant requires a fire suppression system. So down on the southern end, it was brought up in the staff report, we do show as a placeholder a water tank and a pump house room if necessary. If we find that there is ample pressure out here in volume, these will go away and they will not be required. But we did want to show them on the plans to be reviewed by staff and the board. They've also been included on the DEP application that we filed because there are some environmental constraints that down here that these impact. So we wanted to make sure that we wanted to get them on the plan right from day one if needed. The last thing we wanted to do was get a DEP approval, get a township approval, start going into building design plans, and the fire sprinkler designer comes back and says, oh, we need a water tank and we need a pump house. Now we have to come back to the board. Now we have to go back to NJDEP for more disturbance. So we want to show that on the plans to be reviewed. We're proposing LED light fixtures throughout the entire development, a total of 10 freestanding fixtures, 129 watt fixtures mounted at 24.5 feet high, and 15 LED wall fixtures, again, 129 watts mounted at 25 feet high. Streetlights occur on Centennial Avenue, but we do comply with the 0.5-foot candle maximum at all property lines, including the two driveways off of Access Road and Centennial Avenue. We are maintaining as much vegetation that exists along Centennial Avenue today, with the exception of the opening for the driveway and some grading. We are proposing two monument signs, one located at each of the entranceways, similar signs that were on the previous application, 60 square foot monument signs, 6 feet wide, by 10 feet high. We're providing street trees along Access Road, along South Washington Avenue, and also along Centennial Avenue. Again, supplementing in existing pockets that may be open just to kind of provide a better buffer than that exists today. But for the most part, along South Washington and Centennial Avenue, we're going to maintain as much of the existing buffer as we possibly can. In total, we're proposing 146 trees, 256 shrubs, and 480 ground cover species. as Mr. As Arvid had mentioned, we do have the two deviations. One is the fence type, actually, in which we propose the chain link fence on this property that is not permitted by code. This chain link fence is only located along the top of the walls. We can change that fence to a post and rail fence to comply with the ordinance. But the one deviation that we still do have is for fence height, where 6 feet is allowed maximum. Right along the entranceway on the western side, if you come in off of Centennial Avenue, this is the highest wall of the entire property. And the reason is the driveway is up high in elevation, and the detention basin, that happens to be the deepest point of the detention basin. So when you add the wall height plus the fence, we're at approximately 13.35 feet. So there is a requirement of a variance that we are asking from the board to grant for that particular item. We are going to propose the three required electric charging stations located along the northern side of the building. Outside approvals necessary, again, very similar, Middlesex County Planning Board for site plan. Because we are disturbing over 5,000 square feet, we will require a soil erosion permit from the township. And lastly, from NJDEP, we have filed an application and been deemed administratively and technically complete for the filling and modification of some of the wetlands and transition areas on site. One of those being a transition area waiver redevelopment permit that we have requested. And what that is for the buffers that are associated with a majority of the wetlands on site today, they're 50-foot buffers. But the existing trailer storage that has been going on for many, many years has encroached deep into those buffers, almost right to the wetlands, some even into the wetlands on some of those areas. So as part of the application to the DEP, we have filed what is called a transition area waiver redevelopment permit that will allow us to eliminate and get rid of all of that gravel that exists on site today in those environmentally sensitive areas and restore it with either grass as part of the basin or some plants, trees, et cetera, to help the environment and bring it back to what it was supposed to be many, many years ago. I have had an opportunity to go through all the staff reports. And as mentioned earlier, we have no problems with addressing and complying with all the comments in all those staff reports.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Sure. Madam Chair, if the board members have any questions of Mr. O.
Do we have any questions from the board of this witness at this time? Ms. Buckley, would you see if there's any, I'm opening it up to the public, and would you see if anyone from the public would like to ask a question?
I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. And one more time, do we have any questions of this witness before we go to the next person? Thank you.
Thank you.
You may proceed. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Madam Chair, with your permission, if I may call our architect, let's see if he's on the line. I didn't see him. He is. Zach, thanks.
Okay, fine.
So, Madam Chair, if I may have our witness, Zach Wester, sworn in.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Wester, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Zach Wester. It's my last name, W-E-S-T-E-R.
Thank you.
May I, Madam Chair?
You may proceed.
Thank you. Zach, by whom are you employed?
I'm employed by M&H Architects.
And how long have you been an architect?
I've been a licensed architect for 5 years, and I've been with M&H Architects for 10 years.
Okay. And are you licensed in the state of New Jersey as an architect?
I am, yes.
And have you ever appeared before a planning or a zoning board?
I appeared before the City of Bayonne Planning Board. I have not had the pleasure of testifying to this board.
Okay. Give us a bit of benefit of your educational credentials.
Sure. I have a Master of Architecture from Kansas State University. Like I said, I've been practicing architecture for 10 years. I've worked on approximately 15 million square feet of this type of building in the state of New Jersey. along with 40 million square feet nationally. So,
Madam Chair, I'll proffer him as an expert in the field of architecture.
Thank you. Mr. Hinton, he will be accepted as an expert in architecture.
Thank you. Zach, are you familiar with the application before the board this evening?
Yes, I am.
And were the architectural plans, the floor plans, and the elevations that were submitted with this application, were they either done by you or under your direction?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind, walk us through, and you can share your screen. Show us, number one, what the finished product, what we're anticipating the building to look like, and also give us an idea of the floor plan of the building.
Okay. I'll start with the building elevations. And the sheet I'm referencing from the planning board documents was PB-2. And so the building will be constructed of concrete wall panels, and the paint scheme of the building is a two-color paint scheme made up of neutral grays, a light gray color, and a medium gray. The wall panels will have reveals, which will separate paint colors, and color will be applied in blocks to help minimize the scale of the building and to provide an aesthetic rhythm as you progress down the long elevation. The north elevation, as was stated, is the elevation that faces the access road, where the three office elements will be located. We're at this point proposing glazing and a tinted gray tinted glass at each of the corner entries, and at the center office entry, we are proposing that there be knockout panels for the inclusion of glass in the future should a tenant choose to occupy the center office space. All four elevations of the building have clear story windows above all of the man doors, which allow natural light to enter into the warehouse space. Currently, the office spaces are labeled as future and will be determined based on the tenants' operations and occupation of the building. The entry elements will include metal panel, clad canopies, and storefront framing and glass. And I can go to the next exhibit, which will show a little more in detail of the typical office entry. And this is Planning Board Sheet PB-3. Scrolling to sort of the typical office entry. Like I said, the glass will be more of a gray tint, with the canopy that's over the entry will match the color of the darker gray. The maximum parapet height of the building is 48 foot 3 inches to the tallest point of the building, and that occurs on the loading dock sides, where the loading docks are 4 feet below the finished floor. I'll now move to the overall floor plan of the building, so I can show you as well how the building will be oriented. And I think Gregory Ullman did a nice job of explaining the location of those offices as it relates to the parking and as the loading docks relate to the dock areas. And this is sheet PB-1. As was stated before, the three office entries will occur on the north side and the northeast side on this chamfered end, and all of the loading docks will be on the south end. As far as rooftop equipment screening is concerned, all of the rooftop equipment will be held back one bay from the parapet wall at the building perimeter, and the height of the building parapet will effectively screen the rooftop equipment from adjacent roadways. And through the use of 3D modeling software, we're able to evaluate and confirm that the parapets will in fact screen the rooftop equipment from adjacent roadways. as it relates to building signage, we're showing it, at this stage, we're indicating a building sign at each of the office corners. However, the actual sign design will be part of a future building or future tenant package. And we're not seeking any variation from the ordinance requirements, which are requested. And I believe all of the architectural comments in the review letters have been addressed in the testimony. And if you have any additional questions, I would welcome that.
Sure. Just one final question regarding the, since we don't know who the tenant's going to be.
Right.
If there's rooftop equipment that's required for instance, refrigeration. And that could be added the same way that you've discussed earlier and screened from the public view, is that correct?
That's right, yes. Yeah, so that would be evaluated at the, at the point of the tenant finish, there may be some requirements for rooftop equipment as well, and that would also be evaluated at the inclusion of the tenant built out.
Madam Chair, if the board members have any questions for Zach.
Do the board members have any questions of this witness? Hearing no response, I will now open it to the public. Ms. Buckley, do you see any questions?
Can you please unshare your screen?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's just a lot easier for me to see everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Madam Chair, can you just hold on one moment, please?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brian Rack.
Concerns done to prevent bird strikes against those windows?
Zach, can you address that? Do you know if there's any bird strike issue that we should have addressed?
As it relates to the architecture or the structure, the integrity or the structural integrity of the windows, is that?
No, I was just more concerned about protecting the birds that might see the tinted reflective windows as open area and fly into them.
I don't know that we've evaluated yet the reflectance of the glazing itself, but certainly could look into a glazing that wasn't, that did not necessarily have a reflective coating to try to mitigate that.
Okay, yeah, especially because it's currently wetlands or wetlands adjacent, so I would be concerned about that. Thanks.
Understood.
Any other questions from any members of the public?
I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public for any questions from the public.
Madam Chair, may I call Scott Kennel as my final witness?
You most certainly may.
Thank you.
Good evening again.
Good evening, Mr. Kennel. You were previously sworn.
I am aware I'm still under oath.
Thank you.
Yes, as Scott, far as this. If you, so.
Go ahead. I don't need to ask the question because you know.
As far as this site is concerned, my office prepared a traffic study dated March 2nd, 2021, which was submitted to the board. And similar to the other application, the first step was to do to collect traffic counts. And again, on this site, McDonough and Ray Associates was retained in 2019. So we were able to collect traffic data on the surrounding roadways in October and November of 2019 to reflect pre-COVID conditions. Generally speaking, the peak hour out in this area occurs from 8 to 9 a.m. and from 4:45 to 5:40 p.m. And as part of our data collection program, we collected traffic counts in the morning and afternoon peak hours at three South Washington Avenue intersections, all signalized. The first being Centennial Avenue, the second being the southbound I-287 off-ramp, and then the third, which is adjacent to the site frontage, is the access road right adjacent to the main line that is signalized. Once we have our base traffic counts established, we reviewed the site plan And based on the proposal here for 216,000 square feet of warehouse, the trip generation rates published by the Institute of Transportation Engineers was reviewed. We used land use code 150 warehousing. And as identified in the traffic report submitted, we're projecting approximately 50 trips during the morning peak hour and 55 trips during the afternoon peak hour. We then assign that traffic to the area roadway network, given the type of use. And again, we don't have tenants known at this time, but it's expected that 80% of the traffic would be oriented to and from I-287, and then 20% to Centennial Avenue. Given this location, we have great access to I-287, whether it's on Washington, South Washington Avenue, or this site also with the access roadway along the north side provides, I'll say, a secondary access out to the west to South Randolphville Road via the access road to Corporate Place, then to South Randolphville Road. With that taken into consideration, we then evaluated the three signalized intersections that traffic counts were conducted. And it was determined that at South Washington Avenue and Centennial Avenue, it'll operate a level service C with or without this development. In the afternoon, that intersection operates a level service E, but again, with this development, it does not change the overall delay or level service, or remain a level service E with or without this development. And I think it's important to also recognize when we conducted our counts, the Avis facility was fully operational. We did not take any credit for that traffic that was already there. So we basically took that as the baseline and surcharged the additional traffic from the warehouse to present a worst case conservative analysis. At the South Washington Avenue and I-287 off ramp, that'll operate a level service B with or without this development for both the AM and PM peak hours. The access road signalized intersection with South Washington Avenue in the no build operate level service A will continue to operate a level service A with the traffic from the new warehouse. And then finally, at the intersection of the site driveway with Centennial Avenue, which will be a right in, right out, that'll operate a level service B for both the morning and afternoon, and therefore operating well within acceptable traffic engineering parameters. As far as the site is concerned, the site access points will have more than adequate site distance so that traffic movement to and from the site can occur safely and efficiently. The site plan itself has been designed to accommodate not only the passenger vehicles, but the large wheelbase vehicles that'll be on this site to access the loading docks and well as the access points. So in summary, the development of this site will have a minimal impact on the area roadway networks. It does not affect the levels of service as compared from no build to build. And the site plan has been designed to provide positive on-site circulation. Also, the parking that's provided meets and exceeds the municipal requirements. So therefore, in my opinion, this site will have a negative impact on the adjacent roadway network and can function safely. That completes my direct.
Thank you, Scott. Madam Chair, that would complete the testimony from this witness as well. Board members have any questions?
Okay, we have to open up to the public one last time. Let me get questions to the board first. All right.
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. I'm not sure if this expert could really answer the question, but is my understanding on this site that there is a tie-in to the traffic light on South Washington, and that is the only, obviously because Centennial is one way and the other way, the only way a truck would be able to make a left. Is that accurate, and am I speaking to the right expert on that?
Yes, I mean, a truck would, to get directly to South Washington Avenue, they could use the existing traffic signal that is closest to mainline 287 and make the left turn on to South Washington Avenue northbound.
That lot is this lot at that light? Am I accurate in looking at that?
That's correct. It's the old Avis facility.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, seeing no questions, Ms. Buckley, would you open it to the public? I'm opening it to the public. Would you see if there's anyone who wishes to have any questions?
I was waiting for that. Thank you. I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Any last comments, Mr. Apple?
Madam Chair, just that we have eliminated at least one.
What? I'm sorry, I couldn't get on when you had the thing before.
Oh, I apologize. Is this a member of the public?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My name is Teresa Rudnicki Jones, and my son lives at 301 Netherwood Avenue. I live in Bridgewater. I just have one question.
Wait a minute. Oh. Which witness you're asking the question of?
Yes. Oh, what would be the whole group? My one thing is, was a pollution study done on the increase of, I know there's a lot of traffic and everything, but has there ever been done a pollution study to see the increase in pollution in Piscataway because of all these trucks coming on? I know you were saying that the truck can go on Centennial Avenue. You would not believe the number of trucks that take Centennial Avenue to get to 287 South. My question is, has anybody ever done an increase in pollution study of all these trucks that are coming to all these warehouses? I know about all the trucks and the traffic, but what about the pollution for the citizens of Piscataway? Are their lives going to be affected?
Madam Chair, if I can answer that.
Sure, if you have a response, or one of your witnesses may have a response.
We conducted all of the required studies and tests, not only as part of the application for the municipality, but also with outside agencies, including NJDEP. Those have all been submitted to the municipality as well. There is no pollution test that I'm aware of.
Ma'am, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, but I want the board to think in future generations how all of these warehouses and trucks and everything else are going to affect the people of Piscataway. Thank you very much.
Ms. Buckley, before we close to the public again, would you check one last time to see if there's anyone else?
No one is raising their hands, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the
Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. I just want to address the comment from the lady from Bridgewater. Just as a side note, for more than 60 years, the entire Centennial Avenue corridor has been light industrial / office zoned. Even with the new economy changing in our township in this area, not just in Piscataway, but along the entire length of 287 corridor, it has been a less of an impact on our community. A lot of these sites along Centennial Avenue and South Washington Avenue and area had triple the amount of traffic out there when I was growing up as a kid. And to say that this is being demonstrably negative on our community is absolutely not the case, because anybody who knows how logistics and the industry is working now, they don't have all these trucks or people stacking up all over the place. They're timely deliveries now, no different than if somebody goes and orders something on Amazon or some company and gets delivered. That's just parroting what some of the people that who've run for political office in this town are pitching to the general public here. I mean, I realize not everything's perfect in the state of New Jersey, but short of us condemning all the property along Centennial Avenue and telling people they can't build, there is no other solution to that. These folks here are following the DEP guidelines. As far as the air quality issue, the entire state of New Jersey is a non-attainment area. And that is because of all the pollution power plants that come from the Midwest that drift over the state of New Jersey. The entire state is. So to say that one application is creating the entire problem in the entire township is not correct. I mean, when you have the entire state in that thing. So I just wanted to add that comment in, Madam Chair, because this seems to be an ongoing parroting political ploy out there. I'm not saying from the lady that just said that, but we've heard that common argument made on a couple other applications around the town. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, somebody did raise their hand as the mayor started. DA?
The public portion's closed, so on the application.
Arvin was summing up, I believe.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Ethel. I can't hear you, Arvin. You're muted.
Thank you. I was disconnected and had to reconnect, so that muted me again. I apologize. As Ed indicated, the application is a conforming use application with two deviations originally noticed. One of them was for the number of electric vehicle charging stations required under the ordinance. We're not seeking a deviation for that any longer. The second is a design standard deviation because of the height of the fence, as testified to by Mr. Homan. That is necessitated essentially because of the conditions on the property and the placement of the fence on top of a retaining wall. So it would be technical deviation. We had asked that the application be looked at favorably. And if the board members have any additional questions, we're here to answer.
Thank you. It's up to the board to present a motion or make comments, whichever. Does anyone on the board want to make a motion to approve this application?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'd like to make a motion that this be granted, providing that they meet all the specifications in all the reports that were given.
And with the deviation for the fence?
Yes.
Do I get a second?
Michael Foster, I second it.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Oh, there he is. And Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Our last item on our agenda for this evening is item number 14, a discussion zoning ordinance supplemental landscape standards.
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Corcoran. Do you want me to just give an overview of what this ordinance is?
Yeah.
So basically, any property along the Stelton Avenue corridor that's zoned business professional has to meet these landscape standards when they abut a residential zone. Our landscape architect worked with the attorney to come up with these standards. This was sent down to the planning board from council. So we just have to take a look at these. And you know, if we agree with them, we would send them back to council for final reading, second reading.
Has everyone on the board had an opportunity to look at them and willing to have the adjustments made or have no problem with them?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill, and because this had become had come before the council, I just want to make the board aware that these are additional requirements for our businesses. This is to ensure that there is enough buffer, to increase buffer, to try to, as much as possible, where residents are abutted up against businesses,
to have additional buffering, certain restrictions or height, you know, on a fence to hide potentially the business. So, you know, just overall, if you've looked at it and you can look at it quickly, you can see that this is an increase and also some additional restrictions on lighting.
If we hear no comments, I'm assuming that the lack of a comment means that you have no objection to these additional standards. Is that, would that be correct, board members?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you. Then you can we
open it to the public if they have any comments on the supplemental landscape standards before you have a motion, Madam Chair?
Okay, open to the, this is open to the public.
Brian Rack.
Comment. Brian.
Yeah, I'm still here, Brian Rack. I live around the corner from this, and I was looking at the zoning map, and I'm kind of confused because a lot of what's zoned as business professional one appears to be residential houses. Is this going to affect their ability to, say, add an addition or something? It's very confusing because definitely a lot of the BP1 area right around the corner from me is all residential houses.
Ms. Cahill, do you have any response to that?
In terms
if
of
I, if I may, Madam President, I'll handle that. Okay. This is for the buffering of businesses that are adjacent to residential homes. Any homeowner that wants to come in for an addition, their application has to fall on the merits of their on that property. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Barlow.
No, you're absolutely. This is just dealing with businesses so that the any residential homes that may be in the area, it requires things like a 6-foot high fence, planting beds, extra evergreen conifers at least 8 to 10 feet in height, additional shrubbing, so that the residential homes have as much protection and privacy as possible from any businesses in the BP1 zone. It would not deal with, you know, a single family home who's putting on an addition and all of a sudden has to put in a row of 10-foot high shrubs.
Oh, so this doesn't apply to the row of houses that are in BP1 between Charles Terrence and Haynes?
You're overthinking what it's, this is in response to residents wanting privacy from businesses, not homeowners having to provide privacy to other homeowners.
Right. You know, I understand. I'm just confused because it looks like a lot of residential, there's like 8 or 10 residential houses that are in that BP1 area that I just mentioned. I mean, maybe the maybe the town zoning map is incorrect, but I'm not sure.
No, I mean, the zoning's changed over time. If a house was built 100 years ago and it now is in the BP1 zone, but again, it's only how homes that have the frontage on Stelton Road and abut a residentially zoned lot to the rear. I mean, it's very specific in terms of the businesses it affects.
Okay.
You know, obviously, like maximum height of parking light fixtures. No residential home has a parking lot with lights in it. So.
And Mr. Barlow, if I could just interject quickly too, just to speak to Mr. Rex's point about residents coming in for applications, those residents would have to more than likely have to go before a board if they were looking to put an addition on a house, if there were any kind of variances required. And that this is apart from that. This does not indicate any further restrictions on those folks.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any other questions from the public before I close it?
I do not see anyone, Madam Chair.
It is now closed to the public. So that if we have no objections.
No, we need to make a motion, Madam Chair.
Yeah, okay, I need a motion from the board that we don't have any objections to.
Proposed amendment.
This proposed amendment.
So moved. So moved, Councilwoman Cahill.
Do I have a second from the board?
I'll second that, Dawn Corcoran.
Thank you. May we have roll call, Ms. Buckley?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. May I have a motion to pay the bills for this evening?
Madam Chair, we also have a resolution though that passed.
Oh, okay.
So there's a resolution that was prepared with regards to it. There just needs to be a motion to adopt the resolution that was provided.
May I have a motion from the board to adopt the resolution?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, don't move. Adopt the resolution.
Do I get a second?
Second, Carol Saunders.
Roll call. Here it is.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
How about Mr. Foster?
Mr. Foster is an alternate and I don't need him to vote.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Sorry, Mike. Thanks for asking, though. Thank
Love you still.
Okay. How about a motion to pay the bills?
I make a motion that we pay the bills, Carol Saunders.
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yeah.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Motion to adjourn? We don't have to. We can stay a little longer now. Don't feel like you have to.
Go ahead, Mr. Foster. This is all you.
Listen, I'm motion that we close the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second.
Second, Carol Saunders.
Hearing no opposition. Close.
All in favor.
Aye.
Bye.
Aye.
Bye. Bye.
Have a good evening.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.